Good morning. It is Sunday, December 31st, 2017, which brings us to the doorstep of 2018. Here we go in another first. And you know, no matter the geographic location, whether a person is born again or not, all of mankind enters the next year at the exact same time, and of course, according to our time zones. There is no line, no one can boast, I was the first one in. But you know, in reality, any given second can be the doorstep to something fresh and new. It's not really about time, quote unquote. It is really about our personal will and decision and determination. But at the entrance of a new calendar year, people do a lot of thinking about all the things they're going to do differently in this new year. Well, mankind has had about 4,000 years of practicing resolutions. The Babylonians began the tradition of resolutions, and then the Romans followed suit. The tradition was built upon the premise that if you lived a nicer, better, more moral life, the gods would show you favor. But if you failed to keep your resolution, you would lose the graces of the gods. And then in 1940, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, he tailored the tradition with a thing called the Covenant Renewal Service, which was held on New Year's Eve, or sometimes it would be held on New Year's Day. And they would gather, they would read scripture, sing hymns, and pray together to live better godly lives. In part, these services did keep Christians from many worldly alternatives on New Year's Eve. Probably kept a lot of them alive. Certainly kept a lot of them sober. So this custom of resolutions, it continues throughout many denominations even to this day. And there's nothing wrong with the resolve to live better. Gosh, how wonderful, really. But it is unfortunate that the Babylonian and Roman motives to stay in favor with the gods, lest the gods would work ill toward them, that it's too bad that's transcended into our Christian beliefs today. We know that our true God does not withhold blessings. We know that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ truly loves all of mankind. And we would never be motivated to change our life for fear that God would do something terrible to us. That is not our motivation. So 2018 is virtually a blank canvas. It's a new year. Some like to think of it as a new start. And it is true that our hearts can stir at the thought of making changes that would impact our lives in good ways. But no matter how good things are, there's always that little tweak that we desire. It is within us to desire a better result. The question is it motivated by our love for God, our response to his love for us, or is it driven by the lust of the world? Even beloved ones can be motivated by either one, and that would come as a surprise to a lot of people in churches. How could I be motivated by lust of the world when I'm born again? But it is true, they can be. So what is our motivation as we're lining up the things that we want to do different? Why are we seeking? Is our seeking based on a godly foundation? I do want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I really like the way some of it is worded. It starts in verse 3, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Now, it says because of his glory and excellence. It does not say because we kept our resolution that he's going to now do this. I love when Larry teaches, he says, it's not because of our goodness. It's because that God is good. God is good all the time. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. See, that's what helps us keep from being motivated by the lust of the world. Verse 5, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Live the word. Live the way Jesus Christ lived. Watch his life. And moral excellence with knowledge. Verse 6, and knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and he gave his life for every and anyone who would believe. And I want to say something about translations that we read. I'd like to just take a minute to address that. When we read from another translation outside the King James or the New King James, we aren't endorsing that translation. That you, to the end, that you would go out and buy it and toss your King James version. We're just reading it because it's a new and fresh way of saying it. For example, right here in 2 Peter verse 1, it says that Jesus Christ is our God and Savior. It's a bad job of translations, right? But the translation parts that I did read to you, they say the truth in a fresh and beautiful way, and it can really bless our hearts and others. We can be encouraged by the freshness of the wording. I think of it as just a lot like listening to Christian radio. The many songs are so inspiring, and even with the inaccuracies, you see the heart of love for God. We have wonderful friends in Beloved of God who go on cruises where music groups, Christian music groups, will sponsor a cruise. And during that cruise, at different times, the music groups will share why they wrote a song. And they'll even do that at some of their concerts. And you really just tingle listening to their heart share what was in their minds and going through their souls when they pen the words and put music to a song. And they sing those inaccurate words only because that's the way that they were taught. I think of some of the songs I listen to, they'll just outright sing that Jesus is God. But then the rest of the song clearly indicates they don't believe a word of that because they have no trouble keeping Jesus straight and God straight in what they do and who they are. But they say those things because that's what they hear. That's what they were taught. And I love to think back of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says that we were carried away into dumb idols even as we were led. People repeat what they're taught. And we just need that charitableness to see the good in people, to see the hearts of our brethren who do sing great and inspiring words about God, about our fellowship with him, and all of that. No matter what we set about to do in the new year, remembering that Jesus Christ is key is so important. Jesus Christ is chief. He is our core, C-O-R-E. He is our head. He is the most important in our lives. His presence in our lives is essential, necessary, imperative. He is central, primary, underlying, and supporting, and provides the structural soundness to our lives. So really and truly making him Lord in our lives would shape the canvas for a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2018. But never forget that at any second, the very next second is a first. And if at first you don't succeed, if you fall off your resolution, you just pick yourself up and you jump back into that circle of God's love. Lamentation says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And then you can even break it down further. It's second by second, new mercies I see. I trust you enjoyed listening to the teaching last week that we reposted that Larry had done entitled Jesus Christ, the Savior of the World. That series, I think there's 5 teachings in all. They are on the website, and I would encourage you to give them a listen and really absorb your heart and mind with the greatness of Jesus Christ and how important he is not only to us, but to the whole world. So no matter our geographical location, let's every one of us enter into 2018, regardless of your time zone. Let's enter with the heart of these scriptures that I would like to close with out of Ephesians 4. That we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. And let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for all the brethren, wherever they may be, regardless of their denominational beliefs. If they believe in God, if Jesus Christ is their Savior, we want to pray for our brethren everywhere. We want to pray for those in authority. And we want to pray for the world, remembering that we are not of the world. We are seated so far above the world that even the stars, even our zodiac signs, have no hold or sway over the person we are, whether personality, whether our health aspects of our lives. Our strength is in the Lord, who is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And we are seated there with him. We are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. And I do want to say how very much we love you, how very much we appreciate each and every one of you. And Larry and I do have a ministry goal for 2018, and that is to really get into writing some books. He is a series kind of guy, as you know, and we have probably 4 or 5 of his series that we would like to commit to book form. A lot of these we do have transcripts for his teachings, but we are in need of some people who could transcribe some of his teachings and help us get transcripts so that we can work them up into books. And it was our thinking, so the burden didn't fall on one person, that if we had maybe 4 or 5 people who could volunteer to be assigned a teaching to transcribe, That would be so helpful to get us rolling into the new year without having to take the time to transcribe the teachings before we could really get started in our editing. So we appreciate your prayers about that. And we also appreciate any of you, if you could just let me know via email, Connie at BGM-USA.org. There it is. It's in there somewhere. If you could just let me know by email that you would be able and happy to do that, I can give you some help on how to do it most effectually. We don't have a lot of rules about how it's going to be in presentation to us. We just want to get the words off the teachings onto the paper so that we can cut and paste. So we thank you so much. And Larry and I both wish you a
happy new year.
Love you.
God bless. Bye-bye.